Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. Today's podcast episode is being sponsored by Ho Tech Min from Singapore in memory of his daughter, Emma. Here is what he shares with us. Emma loved to sing, and she used to make up songs about her being a bean sprout. We love you and miss you every day, little Emma Bean Sprout. Tech Min is grateful for the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast that has been such an encouragement to him these past few years. He wanted to sponsor this episode, saying, "I imagine there are many like me listening, and maybe your podcast can give them a boost to go through another day." Thank you, Tech Min, for sponsoring this episode in memory of little Emma Bean Sprout. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now, before I get started, I just want to remind you that, especially in the summers, I do a lot of my recording in the Hope Mobile. So you get to hear what I hear. So if you're hearing birds screeching or a golf cart going by, that's just part of my recording, the reality of where we are. If you don't know anything about the Hope Mobile, you can go to gpshope.org and go to the About tab, and you can find out all about what I'm talking about. So anyway, let's get to today's topic. Have you ever started to tell someone about your child and then found yourself hesitating over the words? Maybe saying, "My child died," you just couldn't get those words out. That's very, very typical. So instead, maybe you said your child passed away, or that your child is gone, or maybe I lost my child. Maybe you said your child went to heaven. There are so many different ways we talk about the death of our child. And even though all of those phrases are pointing to the same heartbreaking reality, they don't all feel the same when we say them. For some parents, and I'll say this is probably not very many, but the words, "My child died," are important because they are being honest and direct. And that's who they are. That's how they want to present it. For others, and I would say most, probably most, those words are just far too harsh, especially in those early weeks, the months, or even years. Some bereavers may never, ever feel comfortable saying the words, "My child died." They need words that soften what happened just enough for them to be able to speak it out loud when the time is appropriate. And then there are phrases that bring comfort to one bereaver, but can really bother another one. And one of those is, "I lost my child." Now, I've heard parents respond, or seen it written in like comments in Facebook or YouTube, "I did not misplace my child. I know exactly where my child is. I did not lose my child." So today, I decided to talk about the different words we use, why we use them, and why there is no right or wrong way to say something that no parent should ever have to say. And since we're talking about the meaning words carry, I'm going to pause and explain one of the words you've already heard me use. If you have listened to me or been connected with GPS Hope, you're already familiar with this. But for those of you who are new listeners, and that is the word bereaver. Now, the word bereaver brings together the words parent and bereaved. Within the word bereaved is the root word reave, which is where that comes from, which means to rob, deprive, tear away, take away violently. And I know when Becca died, that described how I felt. We are parents who have had our precious children just torn away from us, from our physical lives. Now, the word, so you put the PA for parent, the word reeve for what happened, you put those together and you get bereaver, a parent who's bereaved of their child, a parent who's had their child ripped away from them in this life. Now, the word bereaver does not replace the fact that I'm Becca's mom. Death did not end that relationship or take away my identity as her mother. We all know there are no words that describe our pain. It's impossible. But the word bereaver gives me a way to describe both truths at the same time. I'm still her parent, and I am living with the devastating loss of her physical presence. It's also a word that brings us together. We know what an orphan is. We know what a widow is. And so using the word bereaver, it just brings us together under, a word that tells what a devastating loss we are living through. Not every grieving parent will choose to use that word. That's okay. Just like the other words that we're going to talk about today, it's not about everyone using the same language. It's about finding words that help us express something that can be incredibly difficult to explain. So I am going to start with the most direct words, "My child died." Those are simple words, three words, but there's nothing simple about saying them. When our child first dies, those words can feel impossible. Saying them can make what happened feel it's just too real. We may know in our minds that our child died. We've planned the funeral, the memorial service. We may have chosen the casket or the urn. We may have signed papers and made decisions that no parent should ever have to make. Dave talks about how the tears fell when writing the check for our daughter's burial plot. But saying those words, "my child died," can feel like forcing our heart to accept something that it's still trying to protect us from. Sometimes we can tell the story of what happened without using the word at all. We say there was an accident. We say the cancer came back. We say there were complications. There was an overdose. Maybe we say the doctors did everything they could. We tell the details around the death because the actual sentence, it's just too painful to say, and I don't even want to keep saying it to make you hear it. Now, that doesn't mean we're in denial. It does not mean we're grieving wrong. It simply means our heart can only take in this reality a little bit at a time, and we're not ready for that. Our head and our heart are still trying to come together in what actually happened. We're still in disbelief ourselves. There's a reason we sometimes call these softer expressions euphemisms. They give us another way to talk about something that feels too blunt or too painful to name directly. A phrase like "passed away" places a little bit of cushioning around that word we don't want to say, we don't want to hear. It doesn't change what happened. It just makes it a little easier for some of us to say or even think about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. We already know there is no soft way to experience the death of our child. If softer words help us speak about it, especially when we're still trying to comprehend it ourselves, we're allowed to use them. Many people say, "my child passed away," or simply, "my child passed." For some, that phrase feels less harsh and less final. It can carry the sense of passing from this life into the next. For a bereaver who believes in heaven, the word "passed" may hold the reminder that death was not the end of their child's existence. Other parents say, "my child went to heaven," or "my child went home to be with the Lord." Those words may express exactly what they believe and where they find comfort. They're not trying to avoid what happened. They're choosing to describe what happened through the lens of their faith. I've occasionally said that Becca graduated to heaven or that she was promoted. Those aren't words I use every time, but sometimes they help me to describe her passing from this temporary life into eternity. They don't take away the painful reality that she's not here anymore. They simply express my belief that death does not have the final word and that Becca is now more fully alive than I can comprehend from where I am. But even those phrases can feel different from one parent to another. A person may believe with all their heart their child is in heaven and still have trouble hearing that their child went home, because this was home too. Their child belongs here with them. They were not ready. You were not ready for your child to go anywhere. And this is one of the things I want us to understand. A phrase can be completely true to what we believe and still hurt when we hear it or when we say it. Our faith does not remove the pain from those words automatically. Some parents say, "My child is gone." That may be the only phrase they can manage, but the word "gone" also makes us feel that painful finality, right? It can sound like my child no longer exists, when what that parent means is that their child is no longer physically here. Others may say, "My child left this earth," or "My child is no longer here with us." Some say they transitioned or crossed over. There are parents who speak of their child receiving their wings. There are also parents who strongly dislike that phrase because that does not fit their beliefs about heaven. Again, a phrase that brings tenderness and comfort to one person can make someone else pull back. Some of us say our child was taken from us. That language can express how sudden, violent, or unjust the death feels. We did not willingly give up our child. Their life was taken, along with the future we expected to have together. However, another parent may struggle deeply with the idea that God took their child. So if we hear someone say, "My child was taken from me," we don't need to correct their theology or explain what we think they should mean, including comments on places like Facebook. Please, I see too much correction there. "My child isn't lost. My child wasn't taken from me." Those kinds of things. Just listen for the pain underneath the words. We are all feeling the same pain as bereavers. And of course, people around us need to be very careful about telling a bereaver something like God needed their child, or God wanted another angel, or God chose to take their child for some greater purpose. Those things just make me bristle. Even when someone intends those words to bring comfort, they usually just add another layer of pain or even anger. I remember hearing, you know, that phrase that God wanted another angel, and letting people know that is not scriptural at all. Number one, we don't become angels when we die. And number two, God does not have some sort of angel roster up in heaven that he's trying to fill. So he took our kids to help fill some kind of an angel roster. Then there's the phrase that started me thinking more deeply about this, and that's the one, "I lost my child." Some bereavers get really upset when they hear "child lost" described that way. They'll say, "My child isn't lost. I did not misplace them, and I know exactly where they are." Now, I understand and I respect that reaction, so I want to explain what I mean when I talk about losing our children or using that phrase, "child loss." I am not suggesting that our children have been misplaced. I'm not saying we don't know where they are, and I'm certainly not saying they're lost to God. I am talking about the enormous loss we live with because they're not here anymore. We have lost their physical presence in our lives. We've lost the sound of their voice in the next room or on the phone. We've lost the everyday conversations, the hugs, the laughter. We've even lost the little things that used to annoy us about our child. We've lost the opportunity to make new memories with them here. We've also lost the future we expected to share with them. Depending on our child's age, that may include graduations, weddings, grandchildren, family vacations, holidays, phone calls, and just plain growing older together and being friends in our adult lives. It includes all the ordinary moments we never imagined would be taken away. Our children are not lost. but we have experienced a devastating loss. And that's what I mean when I use the words losing a child. I'm describing what death has taken from us, not where our children are. At the same time, if the word lost does not feel right to you, you don't have to use it. You may prefer to say, my child died. You may say, your child passed away, went to heaven, no longer physically here. You get to choose the words that fit your heart, your beliefs, and your relationship with your child. And our words can even change over time. A bereaver may only be able to say passed away in the beginning and later find that my child died feels more honest. Someone else may use that word at first, right away, because they need to say that hard truth plainly. But later, they may prefer to say their child went to heaven, because that's where their heart has found comfort over time. Sometimes the words change depending on who we're talking to. We may use one phrase with another bereaver, and another phrase with a stranger, and something different with our family. We may say our child's name and tell the fuller story when we feel safe. In a brief conversation, we may simply say, my daughter's in heaven, or my son passed away. And sometimes we don't want to say anything at all. We do not owe everyone the details of our child's death. We don't have to use the most direct language just because someone else believes it's healthier. There may be times when saying certain words help us, and there may be times when those same words just knock the breath right out of us. We just can't say it. This is not a test of whether or not we have accepted what has happened. It's not a measure of how far along we are in our grief. Grief does not work that way. I also think there's an important difference between the words we choose for ourselves and the words someone else chooses for us. Now, I may say, I lost my daughter, because that expresses the loss I live with. But if someone responds by casually saying, well, when you lost your daughter, it may land differently because someone else said that to me. A parent may say, my child went to heaven, but feel hurt and even angry when someone says something like, well, at least your child is in a better place. You don't have the right to tell me that. I tell people that if you're going to start with the words at least, then just don't bother saying it, because it just wipes away everything. You don't say, well, at least, even to each other. I'll just throw this in. At least you got to have 29 years with your daughter. Well, at least you, I mean, we just, those are things that we just don't say. Our grief is personal. Every one of us have different layers to our grief. For me, we had turned the corner and Becca had become one of my best friends. I lost one of my best friends along with my daughter. So when you lose a young child, it's devastating. All the memories you didn't get to have, I get that. So even among ourselves, to say those words at least and compare, we can't do that. It's all painful and dark, and we all understand the depth of that pain. And so just want to encourage you with that. Just throw that in here. We're allowed to speak from our faith, but that doesn't give others permission to use faith language to try to get us to hurry past our pain or to hurry past their awkwardness with it. So how do we know what to say to another grieving parent? We listen. We pay attention to the words they use and follow their lead. If they say their child died, it's usually okay to use that wording. If they say their child passed away, use passed away. Take it for what it is. If they say their child is in heaven, honor that. And whenever possible, use our children's names, right? Our children are so much more than the way they died. If you are a bereaver and someone uses a phrase that hurts, you're allowed to tell them. You can say, I know you mean well, but I have a hard time with that phrase. I prefer to say, and then give them the words that feel right to you. Now, you don't have to be angry with another bereaver whose language is different from yours. If someone says, I lost my child, you don't have to try to correct them or tell them, you know, in a very blunt way, I didn't lose my child. I know where my child is. I did not misplace my child. We have enough pain without trying to throw daggers at each other, right? And you also don't have to surrender the words that are meaningful to you because they're not meaningful to someone else. There's room for both. I can say that Becca died. I can also say that she's in heaven. One statement names the painful reality of what happened here, and the other speaks to the hope I hold because of my faith. And those truths, they don't cancel each other out. Becca died, and I miss her physical presence a lot. I believe she's with Jesus, and I look forward to seeing her again. My hope of heaven does not make her death less devastating while I'm here. And the devastation of her death does not take away my hope of heaven, of where she is now and where I'm going to be with her someday. Sometimes we think we have to choose between honest grief and faithful language, and language that shows our faith or our Christian belief. We don't. We can say death is horrible and still believe death is not the end. We can say our child is in heaven and still ache because our child is not here with us. We can know where our child is and still grieve everything we have lost. Maybe you're listening and realizing that you've judged yourself for the words you use. Maybe you've told yourself, I should be able to say those horrible words, my child died. By now, I should be able to say that. But you still can't. Be gentle with yourself. There is no deadline for saying those words. And like I said, some bereavers will never be able to say those words. Maybe the opposite is true. Maybe you need to say that harsh word because the softer phrases feel like they minimize what happened. You're allowed to say it plainly. Maybe you say, I lost my child, because no other phrase comes close to describing the emptiness and all that was taken from your life. You don't need to stop using that phrase because another person understands the word lost differently. Or maybe you can't bear the word lost because your child isn't lost to you. You know where they are. You need your language to reflect that. That's okay too. There is no perfect phrase that can carry the weight of a child's death. No matter which words we choose, they will always feel too small for something this enormous and this painful. The important thing is not how we word it, how we phrase it. The important thing is that we are given the freedom to talk about our child in the way that feels most honest and bearable to us individually. And sometimes, what feels bearable today will not be what feels bearable tomorrow. We're allowed to change our words. We're allowed to pause when they won't come. We're allowed to say our child's name without explaining anything else. We're allowed to tell the entire story. We're allowed to only say one sentence, a few words, a phrase. If you are listening and supporting a bereaver, you don't need to search for the best phrase. Like I said, listen to how they speak about their child. Let them teach you the language of their grief. Don't correct them. Don't try to soften their words for your own comfort or push them to be more direct than they're ready to be. And please do not be afraid to say their child's name. Saying the name, it doesn't remind us that our child died. We haven't forgotten. Trust me, we have not forgotten. Hearing the name of our child reminds us that our child lived, that they are loved, they still matter, that people still remember our child, because one of our greatest fears is that people will forget that our child lived. For those of us who are bereavers, I hope we can offer that same grace to each other. We share the heartbreak of having a child who died, but we don't all experience or describe that heartbreak in the same way. Our words are shaped by our personalities, our beliefs, the circumstances of our child's death, and where we are in our grief. One parent's comforting phrase may be another parent's painful phrase, and that does not make either parent wrong. So, use the words that help you speak the unspeakable. If passed away gives your heart the small amount of protection it needs, use it. If saying died helps you feel that truth of your loss is being acknowledged, say it. If went to heaven expresses both your sorrow and your hope, let those be your words. And if you say you lost your child, know that you do not have to mean that your child is misplaced or that you don't know where they are. Our children are not lost, but we have lost so very much because they are no longer physically here with us. However you say it, your child's life matters. It still matters. Your grief matters. And the love behind your words is far more important than the particular words you choose. I'd like to share a special resource that was created specifically to support parents who are grieving the loss of a child. It's a free guide called Rebuilding Your Life, a gentle guide toward hope and healing after child loss. Now, when I say the word healing, here's another thing. We can misunderstand what words mean, or what one person thinks a word means is different than what another person means. So let me just say, when I talk about healing, I'm not talking about getting to the point where all of this is behind you and life is good now. That's impossible. When I talk about getting to a place of healing, I'm talking about getting out of survival mode into being able to function again, and then going on to actually learning how to live a life of meaning and purpose again while you wait to be reunited with your child. It is possible. And this printable PDF guide offers compassionate encouragement for parents walking through deep grief. It talks about giving yourself grace as you grieve, releasing the pressure to move on, finding connection with other bereaved parents, and discovering meaningful ways to honor your child's memory. It also includes gentle steps to help you walk with God through the grief, even if you're angry with Him, even if you're struggling with trusting Him again, and to begin slowly, when you are ready, to move toward hope and purpose again. If you would like to download the free guide, you can find it at gpshope.org/guide, or to make it easy for you, just click the link in the show notes. If you would like some personal time with Dave and myself in a small, intimate setting, be sure to check out our GPS Hope and Healing Retreat that is happening the weekend of October 16th in Sarasota, Florida. This is a chance to be with others who get it. You don't have to apologize for tears or feel guilty about occasional laughter. We all get to talk freely about our children to others who want to hear about them. To find out more, go to gpshope.org/retreat, or once again, you can click on the link in the show notes. It's time for our weekly birthday segment. Remembering our children together is one way we support each other as grieving parents. So here are this week's birthdays. Alicia DeFranco was born on September 6th and is forever 24. Brady Keith Herbert was born on September 7th and is forever 30. Jacob Sorori was born on September 8th and is forever 32. Emma Ho was born on September 9th and is forever 10. Patrina Charlene Bostick was born on September 12th and is forever 23. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day worth remembering. I often hear from parents who say that hearing their child's name on the podcast made them feel less alone on an otherwise heavy day. If you would like to hear your child's name on the podcast, I would be honored to include them in the weekly birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays or find the link in the show notes. Language can soften the edges of what happened, but it can never fully explain the love, the pain, the darkness, the absence. We are trying to put words around something our hearts still struggle to comprehend, much less explain it to someone else. So give yourself permission to use the words you need to use, and give other bereavers permission to do the same. So as we continue this journey together, hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.